Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
My question today is, has God answered your prayer? Has God answered your prayer? Jesus, in speaking to his disciples in John's Gospel, talks about asking in his name. And in John chapter 14, verse 13, we read, and he says, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Then he continues in the next verse, and he says, "If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus also tells his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye go and bring forth fruits and that your fruit remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Then in chapter 16, he gives them some reasons as to why he's saying this. John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him unto you." Now, Jesus has been walking with his disciples for almost 3 years at this point in time. They've been with him and they have watched Jesus as various things have happened, as miracles have been performed, as the dead have been raised, as the lame have been made to walk, as those who are sick of various diseases are healed and restored unto health, the blind are made to see, and they're seeing all of these things. And Jesus is preparing them now for the day that he is physically no longer going to be walking with them. And he's saying, "I'm telling you these things that I've just shared with you because the day is coming that I am going to be going away. I am not going to be standing here physically among you anymore. I'm not going to be one that's reaching out and healing these people, but I am going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you an advocate who is going to be with you, but I can't send him until I go away." He goes on in chapter 16, verses 23 through 27, and he says, "And when that day comes, you won't ask anything of me. Yes, indeed, I tell you that whatsoever you ask from the Father, he will give to you in my name." And I want to stop there just a minute, because you see, at that particular time, as Jesus is talking to him, when they'd been out and all these things were happening, the disciples would run, "Hey, Jesus, can you take care of this?" It's just like we do. The kids do their parents sometimes. "Mom, Dad, can you take care of this for me?" Or we go to our something maybe on our job and we ask somebody else to help us out. We're getting them to do it. But he's saying the day has come when I won't be here for you to say, "Hey, Jesus, can you do this for me?" You'll have to ask the Father then. But if you ask in my name, he will do it for you. So Jesus is preparing him for the day that the Counselor, the Holy Ghost, is going to come, because he goes on and says, "Till now you haven't asked for anything in my name. Keep asking and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you with the help of illustrations. However, a time is coming when I will no longer speak indirectly, but will talk about the Father in plain language. And when that day comes, you will ask in my name. I am not telling you that I will pray to the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Jesus is setting things up for the day that he goes away, and we come into the time like we're living in now, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we are here, and we, through the Holy Ghost, pray in Jesus' name, and God begins to work wonders in our lives. He begins to do things for us. He begins to meet the needs that we have. Well, has God answered your prayers? Well, I want to talk to you about some prayers that have been answered. And I'll deal mostly with myself on this, because I know what God has done for me. And I don't necessarily know what God has done for some of the rest of you. Some I do know a few things. But I know some of the prayers that God has answered for me. And we can go back just about a year ago when many of you were praying for me. You were praying because, quite honestly, you, the doctors, and everybody else didn't know if I was going to be around. They didn't know if I was going to make it. But as you prayed, God answered your prayer. And I'm still here. And I still had the testimony of saying that, hey, when the doctor sent me home from the hospital after my fourth trip to the hospital last year, that he said, we don't know what else to do. But he said, I can tell you this, God is apparently not through with you yet. And there is a time that God works in our lives and God wants to do things with us. And if we will hold on to God, God will hear and he will answer our prayer. Now, I remember telling you in last week's message that I knew of a preacher one time that made the brash statement, you bring your requests here, you give them to me, and I'll pray for them for you because God will answer my prayer. He was kind of building himself up. I've got news for you. God will answer your prayer if you take it to him in Jesus' name and you pray it the right way. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But God answers prayers. I want to share with you some prayers that I've made, but first of all, I want to define what prayer is. Some people think prayer basically is just we can read it from the Bible. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And we think that's what prayer is, just reciting that particular verses of Scripture. And we can recite that all day long, and there's nothing wrong with reciting it. But that and that alone will not get the job done. There are some people think that that's all they got to do, just have a prayer that they have memorized, and they say the same prayer over and over and over again. It's just like the kids, you know, when you teach them, you start teaching them how to say grace over the food, and they say, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food. And some people in their adult life, they still go on, and I think that's the only prayer they need to know. God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food, and that gets the job done. But there's time that we have to make supplication to God. Prayer is defined in general as a supplication to God, and supplication can be defined as a petition to God. We are taking our petition, we are taking our need, we are taking our request, we are taking that what we have need of to God. One prayer in particular that I remember was when we started our radio broadcast on KFSG in Los Angeles. And now to give you a little background there, KFSG in Los Angeles, which unfortunately is no longer on the air, but it started in the early 1920s. It was one of the first Christian radio stations in the United States. In fact, if you study broadcasting and you're studying about the history of radio, KFSG is one of the radio stations that you study about. And I had the privilege to be able to broadcast on that station for a number of years. And you think, well, Los Angeles, you know, that's a lot of people out there, millions of people. So you're going to think that maybe what I tell you is just kind of, you know, really not a lot. Because you see, I asked God to give us 1 million listeners. Los Angeles, I don't know how many million people live in LA, the city of Los Angeles, and Los Angeles County, but it's a number of million people. But you've got to also realize that there are dozens of radio stations competing for the broadcast listener. So getting 1 million listeners in Los Angeles, you've got to be pretty good. I asked God for 1 million listeners. Did he answer my prayer? No, not on KFSG. But God heard my prayer. He took us to a radio station called the Caribbean Beacon. Caribbean Beacon, which is still broadcasting, as far as I know, is located on the little island of Anguilla out in the Caribbean Sea. And it's basically a broadcast tower on top of a mountain surrounded by a lot of water. And that means that the radio signal can go a long ways. It can be heard in Europe. It can be heard at times in Australia, Central and South America, all over the globe sometimes. It was amazing where we sometimes got letters from, the people that had heard our broadcast. And I never ask how many listeners we had, but the people who do radio, they know how to figure what the audience is. I mean, it's important to them to know if they're getting through to anybody. And they called me up one day, and without my asking, they said, "Your audience is estimated to be 1 million people on Saturday night." The area that our broadcast was aimed at only had 5 million people that spoke English. We had 20% of the available audience. That's pretty good. And then he went on to say, "And on Sunday morning, your message is getting repeated in a lot of different churches. Because the pastors here that don't have any training, they're looking for inspiration. They're looking for help. They're looking for somebody to give them guidance. And they listen to your message. And your message may be preached again." Putting their words into it a little bit, but that's the basis of it. On Sunday morning and a lot of other churches. So did God answer my prayer? Yes, he did. Just not the way I thought he would. But he answered it. When we moved to Tennessee to start a church with Reese's dad, our first place, man, I'll tell you, it was terrible. Reese is sitting back there with a smile on his face. We had to go in and clean the place up every Sunday morning from the mess because it was in a school. And these kids made a disaster of that area that we were having church in. And then we moved to another school, and we had to clean it up. And I really don't know what happened, but for some reason, the people who had bought this old high school building, when they remodeled it, they turned the men's bathroom into the women's bathroom and vice versa. That was confusing to people. And you went in, and the floors creaked, and they sagged, and this, that, and the other. But you know what? God gave us some good services there, and he blessed us there. Then things changed, and we started this church, and we were in an industrial building in an industrial park. But God was still with us. But one of the dreams that I had had was that someday we would have a church that looked like a church. And I have somewhere in my office, I've hung on to it for probably 30 years, a picture of a church I took in California. And I'll be honest with you, to build a church like the picture that I have of that particular church today would probably cost us $10 million to build one that looked like that. But it was the old Gothic cathedral-style building. It was beautiful. And I always thought, really, I like that. But I realized that's not practical, really. But I thought I'd always like to have a church that looked like a church. And here we are. 11 months ago, a year ago, we were in that industrial building. 11 months ago, we moved into a building that's a church that looks like a church. I mean, I always had the idea of the old country church look, you know. And what have we got? God answered my prayer. Did he do it immediately? No. It took years. And sometimes when we pray to God, we expect God, that's the old saying, the prayer, "God, give me patience right now." Well, that's an impatient prayer right there, you know. And sometimes God does not immediately answer our prayer, but he begins to set the wheels in motion. Because I've got news, the wheels were in motion for almost 4 years. To get us into this place. Our prayers were answered. last year during one of the most difficult times probably we as a congregation have gone through. I can't really say how you all felt. I don't know. Because quite frankly, half of June of last year and most of July, I to this day don't remember. But I know that God was working. And God began to move. And when it seemed like our church could be pulled apart and come to an end, God stepped in and began to work a work. And our prayers were answered. And there's a lot more I could go into that, but I won't today, as to what God did in those areas. Last Sunday, I asked you to pray for my sister-in-law, Mary's oldest sister, because she was having surgery for breast cancer. She's had this for over 6 years. No real medical treatment. What she was doing was self-treating. Quite frankly, to the family, to everyone, it looked bleak. It really looked like we probably better start thinking about when the funeral was going to be more than anything else. Last Wednesday morning, she went into surgery. A few hours later, she was out of surgery. The next day, she was on her way home. Doctors stating this cancer, even though it was trying to break through the skin, which the doctor said 2 more months, and there would have been no hope because it would have eaten through the skin. There had been not a whole lot they could have done at that point. But he removed this tumor the size of a lime and said, it's all contained. There's none in the lymph nodes. We tested other things. There's nothing there. That was a miracle from God. Even the doctor said, this was a miracle. God answered prayer. We've talked about prayers answered. And sometimes God answers our prayer. And God sometimes has a sense of humor when he answers our prayer. Any of you ever recognize that? That sometimes he has a sense of humor when he answers your prayer? When I was young, and I know some of you think that was back in the dark ages, but they did have automobiles back then. When I was a young preacher in my 20s, I decided I needed a Cadillac. After all. And this was about 1966, somewhere along in there, 65. And I was able to purchase a 1962 Cadillac Sedan DeVille. Ooh, it was a beautiful car. White, with kind of a rose-colored interior. Beautiful car. But I said, God answered my prayer. I asked for a Cadillac. But he had a sense of humor. I had the car about 6 months, maybe 8 months, before I got rid of it. And I have never had a desire to have a Cadillac again. I mean, if it could go wrong, it went wrong. And I learned that as a young preacher, I didn't need a Cadillac. Because you see, the next car that God blessed me with was a 1960 Ford Falcon. And some of you here are too young to remember Ford Falcons. But those that do, they were not the best car ever made. And it was worse than the Cadillac. You know, I learned. Does God always answer our prayers? Well, sometimes we pray for something and it doesn't seem to happen. You ever had that? You prayed for it, but it didn't seem like it was happening, that your prayer was just going nowhere. But in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says this, What is causing all the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it your desires battling inside you? You desire things and don't have them. You kill and you are jealous and you still can't get them. So you fight and you quarrel. And the reason you don't have is that you don't pray. Or you pray and you don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive. That of wanting to indulge in your own desires. I remember, and I'm not going to ask if anybody in here has ever done this, but I remember sitting in a Sunday school class a number of years ago, a young woman in the class raising her hand saying, "Would you pray that God would help me to win the lottery? I could help so many people." She never won the lottery, by the way. And I've heard other people that, "Well, just pray that God will help me to win the lottery." And you know what? There's a program on TV. I've only watched it once or twice. It's the stories of some people that have won the lottery, how it affected their life, how it destroyed their life. They became drug addicts. They ended up losing their families. Some of them ended up in all kinds of, and a lot of them ended up broke, in worse shape than they were before. You know, I just ask that God would bless me. Quite frankly, I don't know that I would ever want to come into that kind of money. You have too many people hounding you all the time. You know, friends that you never knew you had. What's more, family you never knew you had. Because they'd all be after you. I just ask that God would meet my needs. And God has met my needs. God has blessed me. God has met my needs. Am I rich? Not by a long shot. Not at least in earthly sense. But you know what? I have a roof over my head. I have a car to drive that runs pretty good, even if it does have 335,000 miles on it. Still runs pretty good. God has taken care of me. And I remember laying in the hospital last year when all this was going on and we didn't know if I was going to live or die. And God speaking to me and said, "I'm going to bless you." He was talking not only to me, but he was talking to us as a congregation as well. And I believe he has blessed us. And he's going to bless us some more. But sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we pray with the wrong motive in mind. We pray wanting the wrong things. And sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer because he knows that if he gave us what we were asking for, it would be a disaster for us. Or maybe sometimes God's plan or his answer is just different than what we are expecting. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, and I know we all think about the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version, but I want to read it to you today from the Complete Jewish Bible, and it says this, "And when you pray, don't babble on like the heathen or the pagans who think God will hear them better if they talk a lot." I don't want to stop right there. I remember hearing people pray, and when they'd get up to pray, they suddenly lapsed into 16th century King James English. That's the way they prayed. They had all the these, the thous, the arts, and all that stuff, and half the time you didn't really know what they were praying about because there was archaic words in there that you'd never heard before, you know. "Don't be like them because your Father knows what you need before you ask him." You ever stop to think about that? God knows what you need before you even begin to ask. "You therefore pray like this, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven." First of all, we need to be asking when we pray. It says pray that God's will be done. And unfortunately, one time, and this is a preacher I greatly admire and respect, but I disagreed with him on this. Because There were times I told him when I prayed for people and they were sick, I asked that God's will be done. And he said, I think that's a lack of faith. I think it's the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, pray, thy will be done. Because God knows what's best. And I've prayed for people. God, let your will be done. Some of them died. Your prayer wasn't answered. Yes, it was. That was God's will. God knew what was best for them. God knew what might be ahead for them, and it might be a whole lot worse if they had to go through that. God looks out for us. We're His children, and He loves us. And He will take care of us. It goes on, give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too forgive those who have wronged us. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's hard for people to forgive others. They get mad at somebody about something, and they hold a grudge. And that grudge can go on forever and ever and ever. 30 years later, they're still holding a grudge about something that was really nothing. We probably all know somebody that's kind of like that, you know. Well, I don't like them, and somebody come up, I don't like them because I don't like them. You better not like them either, or I'm not going to like you. Ever run into anybody like that? Like little kids in grade school. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. So sometimes when we pray, God seemingly doesn't answer our prayer, or He answers it in a different way than what we expected to be answered. Because He answers it in the thing that is for our own good. When we pray to God for something in the way that He instructs us to pray, we have to also be willing to accept the answer that God has given us. And I've seen times, and let's face it, there have been times that people have prayed and they've changed God's mind. And some of them have later regretted it. I heard the story of one person that they prayed that he wouldn't die, and he didn't die, and he backslid and drifted away from God. And he said, I wish people had never prayed for me. He said, because I was saved and I was on my way to heaven back then. Now I'm lost. So He answers for our own good. Sometimes the answer gets delayed. You know, we look around in the world today, and the Bible says in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and we know that somewhere right now there's conflict going on in the world, actually in more than one place. Throughout the Middle East, conflict is going on. People are dying right this very minute somewhere in the world because of conflict that is going on. But also, as well as there is physical warfare, the Bible tells us there is spiritual warfare. And there is spiritual warfare that is going on all over the world today. It's going on right here in America today. It's going on right here in Colombia today. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, we are told, and this is the angel speaking, he says, then he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel. Because since the day that you determined to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of what you said. The prince of the kingdom of Persia prevented me from coming for 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me so that I was no longer needed there with the kings of Persia. So Daniel's been praying for 20-some days here for an answer, and it's not come. And an angel of God appears to him and says, look, I'd have been here 21 days sooner. But spiritual warfare kept me from being here. I was in a spiritual battle. Something had to be done. And until that was done, I couldn't get here with the answer. But I'm here. So sometimes when we pray for something, there is spiritual warfare that goes on. There is a battle that takes place in the heavenlies and the spirit world that takes place that tries to prevent our answer from happening. So sometimes there's a delay in our prayer being answered. And sometimes when we pray and it seems like our prayer doesn't get answered, it's because the answer was just simply no. Realize God does say no sometimes. Just like as we as parents, at least we better be doing it as parents, sometimes say no to our children. No, you can't do this. No, don't stick your hand in the fire. No, don't run out into traffic. No, don't do this. No, don't do that. It's not because you're trying to be mean. It's not because you're trying to hold them back or put them down. It's because you're looking out for their own good. And you're trying to protect them. And sometimes God's answer is no, because He's looking out for our best interest. Has God answered your prayers? I dare say that every prayer you've ever prayed, God's answered in some way. It's just you may not have been particularly happy with the answer, but He's answered it. And maybe you're listening to me today and you're by the internet or some other means, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've prayed on occasion, really seemingly it got nowhere. I will tell you one thing, and one thing I can tell you for certain, that's when you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you do so with all sincerity, and you ask Him, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. He will hear. He will answer that prayer, and He will do so. So if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to ask Him into your heart and life. Won't you do it today? And Father, I thank You for the blessings that You've given us. I thank You for answers to prayer. I thank You for all the needs that You have met. I thank You because You love us and You take care of us. I give You praise now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.